Welcome to Way to Parent Podcast. This is a lifestyle podcast where we will be talking about things like parenting hacks, how to fix your credit, and even mental health, things that most parents can relate to. Thank you for joining us. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Thank you for joining us today, Jordan. Welcome to the Way to Parent Podcast. How are you doing today, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm good. So we got you here just to talk a little bit about just mental health. So what mental health challenges? I mean, I know, but what mental health challenges do you work with every day?
I think for me, well, first to start, I think my diagnosis is I'm a bipolar, manic, depressant, schizophrenic.
Right.
So I think it brings on a variety of different challenges. I think the biggest thing that's been going on lately is just getting up in the morning and taking my medication. Because sometimes I think I'm feeling fine or I'm feeling too tired, and I don't want to have to take it because it's going to make me more tired and sluggish during the day. But it's kind of part of the process. The only way I can stay healthy is if I take my meds.
So what happens if you don't take your meds?
If I don't take my meds, I could spiral. It takes about, I would say about 2 to 3 days to start feeling a difference.
Right.
But it'll take about 2 weeks before I actually have like an actual episode where I actually lose consciousness with myself and just start, you know, saying things off the top of my head that don't really make sense. And it causes a lot of confusion for other people that I'm trying to communicate with.
Gotcha. And so have you ever skipped a day or forgot to take a day?
Yeah, I skip days sometimes. Like sometimes I fall asleep before I, because I take a sleep pill. So there's sometimes okay. My meds only work if I do sleep. So if.
Oh, you have to sleep.
Yeah, I have to sleep. They only because that's pretty much what triggers my schizophrenia is lack of sleep. So if I don't sleep, I just turn into a different person and start hallucinating. So,
gotcha. And so then with that, what does a typical day like for you like consist of?
A typical day. Well, right now I'm in barber school, but when I get up in the morning, I get up around 9, mm-hmm. and I take my meds. Like the first thing I do is take my meds to make sure I don't forget. But I mean, I'm usually pretty sluggish throughout the day because because of my mania, every pill I take is a downer. So it requires that I pretty much have like no energy throughout the day. So that's difficult for me to perform tasks like cutting hair, you know, on a regular basis. But, you know, you kind of got to work with the medication. And I'm working with my doctors now to kind of find a happy medium so I do have more energy throughout the day so I can have more cuts.
Right. Well, how do you balance that? I mean, because like if, you know, like, I mean, a lot of us know what it's like to kind of like do things that when we're tired, right? If we don't have enough sleep or for whatever reason, you know, like we've been working out a lot. So like, is it similar to that? Or is it a different type of like sluggish, tired, you know, like, is it physical or is it mental or is it both?
I'd say it's probably more mental. When you're dealing with mental illness, that's when you're trying to convince yourself that it's not really as bad as you think it is. Because sometimes when something when you're feeling really tired, you have to try to push yourself through it because, you know, who else is going to do it for you? So for me, you know, it's more mental. And I think since I've been diagnosed, it has been harder for me to push through it. Because the medication is so strong, you know, I think it's designed to kind of make you tired. So to try to push through something that's when you already put something in your system that's gonna make you that way, it almost seems impossible most days. But but it's doable. Like I said, I balance it out with, you know, you're not supposed to drink a lot of caffeine, but lately I've been having a little coffee in the morning.
Right.
Makes me a little anxious, but it gets me through the morning. So, and then it makes the later parts of the day a little bit easier as well.
Gotcha. So if you get up and get going in the morning, then it kind of translates to the rest of your day.
Right. So it really has to do with the morning. Correct.
And so when did this first present itself in your life? And like, you know, like, did you know something was going on, or was it just kind of like, like that spiral that you were talking about earlier?
Well, my mom is a marriage and family therapist, and she has seen signs of this, of my mental illness throughout my life. And she's always tried to get me to take pills, but I was never really, when I was a kid, it was just hard for me to do. And then after a while, I just wasn't really cooperative with that. I didn't think I needed anything. But apparently, schizophrenia, it doesn't start to become noticeable until your late 20s. So it didn't fully get diagnosed until my late 20s, but I was sure. I was showing signs throughout my life. Like I have like extreme mood swings, and then when I'm really happy, I'm extremely happy, and then when I'm really depressed, I'm almost like I can't even move, can't even open my mouth. So it can get really bad, and it's extreme. So once it got to a point where I couldn't help myself anymore, that's when I turned to the meds. You know, my mom thought it was well, I had a few, you know, 5150s and 72. I'm not sure
what's a 72.
It's like, I think I forgot the number, but it's like a 70 out. I don't know the number, so don't quote me. But it's like it's just a little bit longer than a 5150 hold. So if you're a little more crazy, they hold you for a little bit longer.
Right. And so is it just like monitoring or what's happening when they're holding you?
Well, they're just trying to get you stabilized on meds. Because usually when you're going in there, you're either off your meds or your meds aren't cooperating with you. You're probably like, you know, drank with them. If you're not supposed to drink when you take meds, so it kind of throws off the chemistry. Yeah. So you spend most of the time pretty much just sleeping. But, you know, if it's really bad, they might handcuff you. They might put you in a straitjacket. They might, you know, whatever it takes, depending how violent you are. But if you're cooperative, then you pretty much just sleep in a huge room full of people and everyone's just trying to get medicated and sleep. Until they can, until there's enough time for you to get out.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And so what is that like? What was that like when you know, like, I don't want to use the phrase rock bottom. When you finally realize, like, oh shoot, like I actually need some help, right? I imagine that you can't do much else except for kind of get yourself together. Like, what was that process like? What was that like for you?
I think the truth is I never believed I needed help. It was forced on me. Like, I thought the pills were to make me manageable for other people. I was like, no, I feel like I'm fine. You guys just don't like me. Right. But, you know, but that's how depression plays with your head. Like, it makes you think the opposite of things that it just makes you think opposite of things. Yeah. So my mom had to just get me committed. You know, she got me committed, and I wasn't cooperative for, like, I was in the hospital for probably like 2 weeks.
Right.
They couldn't get me to take meds. They couldn't get me to sleep. You know, they put me in a straitjacket. They handcuffed me to a bed. Like, it was intense. Like, I really did not want the help.
Right.
Like, to the point where they finally let me out of the hospital, and I reached a point where I was like, it's been days, and all the things that I've been seeing in my head or hallucinating haven't come true. So maybe. Maybe this is something else. Maybe the other people that are, you know, trying to get me help are right. So, you know, it got to that point. So I just had to get hospitalized, and the decision was made for me. But it was a good decision because I've been on the straight and narrow ever since.
Right. And so, like, when, you know, because this is like a family and lifestyle, like, podcast and company. And so what do you think people can do to support, like, a loved one that is experiencing a mental health crisis like you were experiencing at the time?
I think the biggest thing is just patience, because when someone's out of their mind, trying to talk sense into them isn't gonna work.
Right.
So the best thing you can do is try to just be as understanding as you can, and also try to get them, if they're in the middle of an episode, try to get them committed as soon as possible. But it's best to just listen and not try to make sense of anything, because it's probably not gonna make much sense to you.
I remember, yes. Yeah. So, has your perspective changed at all since you've been going through this process?
Yeah, I think my perspective has changed quite a bit. I'm a lot more empathetic, because I used to not believe in things that I couldn't see, if that makes sense. So if I couldn't see it, then I just assumed that it wasn't real. But to the point that I'm hallucinating, and to me it seems very real, and to everyone else it's not.
Right.
I have to assume that, you know, when other people come to me with their concerns or things that they're seeing, whether they're hallucinating or not, I have to take those into consideration, that could be true. Because if I want people to listen to me, I got to be willing to listen to them as well. So I'm a lot more empathetic these days.
Nice. And so, like, how do you see that, like playing out in, like, your day-to-day?
My day-to-day? Yeah. I gotta say, it sometimes makes it a little difficult because I've almost become too empathetic. Like I'm so busy worried about what other people are thinking and how they might feel and trying to please everyone that, you know, I sometimes forget about myself or get lost in the mix. So
right.
The most important thing is just to remember to take care of myself first.
Oh, nice. What does self-care look like for you?
Self-care?
Yeah.
I think for me, isolation. I think I spent a lot of years kind of by myself trying to get my mental illness stabilized with my medication and all that. So I think I'm more comfortable alone. And right. When you go out around people, it can be a little, it can create a little anxiety for me because I'm trying to, you know, listen to everyone and hear their story and help them out where I can and, you know, just be a friend and all that. That right, I, kinda, right. It just, I get lost sometimes, but.
So is it like with crowds too? Like you kind of like, if you go out and it's like a big set, like if you go to like Lake Merritt, for those of you guys don't know, Lake Merritt is like kind of like it's like a party zone, you know, like it's barbecues and a lot of things are happening around the lake. So like if you go to Lake Merritt, are you kind of like lost in the activity and everything that's going around, or is it specifically like if you go out with like a group of friends?
I think it's more so in big crowds. I tend to get lost because I don't really know my place. Like it feels like I have no place there, you know. I don't know who to talk to or who to socialize with. I get a little bit of anxiety in those type of environments.
And how do you manage your anxiety when it pops up?
Lately, I've just been trying to like just talk myself down, like just
okay.
like if someone was there trying to say like, you know, like calm down, like it's okay, like it's not that bad type of thing, which right. is easy to do now that we wear masks, so people don't think I'm talking to myself. But right. after that, you know, people just start thinking I'm talking to them. I'm like, no, I'm just trying to, you know, just trying to relax. You know, it's a little intense right here for me.
Right. Okay. And so like, has like having fun changed for you at all?
Having fun.
Yeah, like things that you used to like you enjoy doing.
Well, I don't drink. I never really was a drinker to begin with, but
right.
I think I'm trying to be more social because I think part of the healing process is I'm trying to get back to being more normal. I don't want to use this mental illness as a crutch for why I don't do things. I want to be able to overcome my mental illness and be able to do everything that everyone else does, you know, just as easy. So I think I have to force myself more to do things because I'm never in the mood. But
right.
other than that, I mean, once I'm out there, I'm usually ready to do it, whatever it is I'm doing.
So if like, let's say like I have a friend or a relative that like, I know that they're struggling with becoming more social. Is it the better approach is to like be consistent, to be kind of aggressive, or like how can I like support them in, and trying to get them to like come out, you know, if that's something that they want to do.
I think it really depends on the person. But right. when it comes to me, I feel like you got to be aggressive because right. I'm right. not going to, if you don't like make me do it, then I'm not going to, yeah. if you don't make it seem like it's really important to you, then I'm going to just be like, well, it's not that important to me, you know? So
right.
you got to right. kind of, you got to make me do it. We actually just had a conversation with a friend about that. Uh-huh. Another friend that's been dealing with some depression, get him to let me come cut his hair. So we're trying to find ways to get him out the house so we can do that. But it's been difficult. But so I would say when it comes to him, you know, you got to, like, just like me, you got to be kind of pushy about it. Kind of get him.
Right. That's great. And so what would you say to someone maybe like struggling with something similar that you manage every single day? Like, is there anything that you can say to them, like, to give them like hope or support or even just like some suggestions?
Like I said, I always like to say the best is yet to come. You know, like I always feel like there's nothing really, like I get up every day knowing that something new is going to happen and it's going to make my life worth being awake. So to tell someone that's going through that, I mean, I would always say for me, medication is not for everyone, but it's really helped me. If you've been going through it for a long time, it's probably best you get some professional help.
Nice. Now, and do you speak with a therapist?
I do speak with a therapist.
How often?
Every other week.
Oh, nice. And do you feel like talking to a professional has like helped you like process things and whatnot?
It does help a lot. It does help a lot because you have someone that are there that's to listen to you, and you can kind of hear yourself think and sort through your problems rather than just talking to yourself and having those things just keep going in circulation and never really reaching a conclusion. Like someone there to help you make those decisions that are hard to make for you, I think is definitely helpful.
I really appreciate you taking your time and joining us today. Is there anything else you want to, you know, like let people know who maybe don't know anything about like mental health or how to support their loved ones?
Just continue to be, if you know anybody that's dealing with mental health, just be patient with them, because it's a lifelong battle. It's not something that's going to change overnight. And if you're dealing with it yourself, then it's definitely going to get better. The best is yet to come.